If I were to ask you this question, is it pointless to serve God? You know, think about this comic where it's a button and it just says pointless. Who would press the pointless button? Anyone? Okay, all teenagers, some adults. But generally speaking, okay, if we perceive something as pointless, we're not going to do it, right? We're always doing things that we feel is going to give us benefit. That's why there's this term called WIIFM, what's in it for me? If nothing's in it for me, I'm not going to do it, right? So for example, I do nice things to Winnie because I'm expecting brownie points, hopefully. When you go to work, you're expecting a paycheck. You're not going to go work for nothing, right? You're expecting some kind of benefit. If you go to school and you study hard, what are you expecting? Job? A good job? Wow, you're thinking really far. No, good grades, okay? If you study, you're expecting you're going to get a good grade. So I think it's safe to assume that all of us do things and we make decisions and we pick things that we do because we know or we hope and we think that whatever we're doing is going to benefit us, right? If there's no benefit, if it's pointless, we're not going to touch it. And so I want to show us a scenario in our home. And it's a picture of this. It's in the kitchen, okay? Pretend the guy's Aiden and pretend the girl is Eliza. And this scenario plays over and over again in our house when it's after meal time and someone has to wash the dish. Okay, and I'm totally gonna throw my kids under the bus for this example. I've already given them the heads up on this one. So every time after dinner, I ask the question, who's gonna wash the dishes tonight? And almost simultaneously, in unison, both of them would say at the same time, I washed the last time. Okay. I did the last time, so it's not my turn this time to wash dishes. Why? Because our kids see washing dishes as pointless. It's of no benefit to them, right? Why get their hands greasy and dirty when they can be doing much more productive things, like playing video games or playing with slime, right? That's more beneficial and more productive. So none of them want to do it. It's just a pointless activity in their opinion. And so it gets worse when we go on vacation and we're vacationing with other families, right? And so when we go vacation, they're stuck washing the dishes and the other teenagers are off doing fun vacation activities. So it makes it even worse on them. They're like, this is pointless. Why am I doing this? So that happens a lot in our house. In fact, it just happened last evening. So this is my response to my kids, you know, whenever they say, why am I doing this? This is pointless. And I tell them, I say, you're part of this family. It is your responsibility to serve your family members, right? Sure, it's of no benefit to you, but when you are serving and you're washing dishes and in your mind this is pointless, this is really what you're conveying. You're conveying to your grandparents that you're thankful to them because they're the ones who cook dinner that night. You're conveying to your parents that you're honoring them because they're the ones out working the whole day to get that paycheck to buy the food for the grandparents to cook. And so sure, in your mind, it's pointless, but it really isn't because you're part of this family and that's just how you serve in this family. And that's always my answer to them, always. So they know why they're serving, even though they don't really like or enjoy it. So that's where we're going to find the Israelites today. As you know, we've been going through the book of Malachi, and the book of Malachi is about the Israelites who are back in Jerusalem, and they're going through this period of thinking that everything they do is pointless. Okay, going to worship in the temple is pointless. Giving offering to God is purposeless. Helping the poor in their community, pointless, not beneficial to them. Giving offering to God, save the money instead. Why do I want to give money to God? And so that's kind of the attitude of the Israelites during this period of time. And the reason is because They've been in captivity from the Babylonians and the Persians for about 70 years, and they've been allowed to go back to their land. So they've gone back, they've rebuilt their temples, they've rebuilt their wall around Jerusalem, and it's been 100 years. So 100 years have gone by. God hasn't really acted in miraculous or spectacular ways. God really hasn't shown up in ways where they would go, whoa! Okay, so their lives so far for 100 years is just mundane, boring, everyday life. They're just kind of going through life, and whether God exists or not, it really doesn't matter to them. And so that's their heart and their attitude. And we can understand, right? When you do something long enough, you just ask yourself, why am I even doing this? Is this even beneficial? If I don't see God act in mighty, powerful ways where I get to gain from doing something on serving God, why even bother doing it? And so you'll see the question today, the question that they're posing to God is, why should I even serve you? It's pointless. They're going to use the word futile. It's futile to serve God. Number one, I gain nothing by it. It's not like I get more prosperous. It's not like I get more stuff. You know, it might be the converse. The more you serve God, the more you're giving your stuff away, right? So they see no benefit in serving God. And then the second one is they look around their community and they see people who are not that great, who might be evil or who might be wicked. And they say, look at all those people. They're not serving you, but they're prospering. You're not doing anything to them. It seems like there's no real consequence to whether I serve you or not, because nothing's happened to the wicked people. And so those are the two reasons that they're tossing out to God and saying, number one, I'm getting no benefit. Number two, evil people are prospering, so why should I serve you? So those are the questions, and I think all of us struggle with that sometimes, right? We're doing either serving at church, or we're serving our community, or we're serving our friends and family. Sometimes we ask that question. And I'll be honest, I ask that question sometimes, especially on Saturday evenings before church on Sunday. I'm like, oh, is it pointless that I'm doing all this stuff? And so you have all probably asked that question before and say, you know, God, I'm pouring my life out here. I'm doing all these things. It doesn't seem like you're really helping me out. It doesn't really seem like I'm benefiting from being very sacrificial in my life. And so that's the question that the Israelites are asking. And so open up your Bible. We're going to see what and how God responds to that question, right? How would God respond when you toss out the question, God, it's pointless to serve you? What would God say? So if you turn to the book of Malachi, we're going to jump a couple chapters. We're actually in Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. So Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. The first half of that passage is just them asking that question. And then the next part is God answering. Okay, and I think the way that God answers is very surprising. I wasn't expecting this as well. That's how God always surprises us and shocks us with how his thoughts are greater than ours. So I'm just going to read through it, and we're going to focus mostly on the second part, okay? Malachi chapter 3, verse 13, "You have spoken arrogantly against me, said the Lord. Yet you say, how have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly, evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it." All right, so that's their charge against God. You're not doing anything. So this is God's answer. Verse 16, "Then those who fear the Lord talk with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act," this is key, "says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as my father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." Wow. God ties serving God with whether you're spared or not at the end times. That blows my mind. Okay, a couple things we want to notice here. There's really two key things. The first thing God talks about is the scroll, right? It says a scroll of remembrance. So in this scroll, it is said, it's written the names of people who fear him, who honor him, who serves him, and are considered righteous. Okay, those whose names aren't in the scroll are the ones who are arrogant, who tells God it is futile to serve him. In fact, they're put in the wicked basket, right? And it says God won't spare them during the end times. And then the second thing is, at the end times, this scroll plays an important part because it's used to say, who am I going to spare and who I'm not going to spare? Now, the first thing before we unpack this, I have to first say what serving God is not, okay? Because from this passage, if you just read this passage, it almost seems like God is saying, if you don't serve me, you're screwed. If you serve me, you're not, right? It almost seems like it's worse. Like, you got to do stuff so that God will either choose to spare you or not. And we know for sure that is not the case, okay? We know clearly all over Scripture that salvation in Christ Jesus is by grace of God, so unmerited favor. Grace, God just gives you salvation freely through faith, so your faith in Jesus Christ. And it explicitly says in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, not by works, okay? So it says you can't do anything to earn God's grace. You can't do anything to earn salvation. It's purely grace through faith in Christ Jesus. So then we ask the question, why does this passage almost seem like you got to do stuff to earn salvation, right? So in order for us to get into it, we have to understand the connection between Jesus Christ and serving and righteousness. Those are all tied together. And this is what I'm trying to paint here, is that serving God reflects a new life in Christ with eternity in mind. Okay, God tells us in this passage that you got to look to the end times because that's when serving matters. So right now, how's that tied to end times? It's through the person of Jesus Christ. And if we can tie our lives to how Christ lived, then at the end times, how we serve get tied to righteousness. So I'm going to hit up a couple Bible passages. If you're fast enough, you can follow me. But if you're not, you just listen, that's fine. So in Matthew 20, verse 25 to 28, it says, Jesus called them together, his disciples. You know that the rulers of the Gentile lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Okay, so this is Jesus saying, in the normal operating procedure of life, people with authority will exert their authority on you. So people who have authority get served, right? They don't serve people beneath them. Then he says, not so with you. Instead, whoever who wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. And this is the key part here. Just as Jesus, Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. All right, so the first thing Christ tells us is he came to serve. That is a mark, it's a character of who Jesus Christ is. And he tells us that those who want to follow him are people who serve other people. In Romans 8, 28 through 30, Romans 8, 28 through 30, it says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conform to the image of his son. So when you become a Christian, you are becoming more and more like Jesus, right? God's purpose is for you to conform, to look like Christ. And if Christ is a servant at heart, if Christ came to serve others, you're going to end up looking like that. And so he says, so that he might be the firstborn brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. So this is the part where it ties in with our passage from Malachi that says those who follow Christ become like Christ, takes on the attitude of Christ, takes on the humility and the servanthood of Christ, and those who follow Christ become justified and become glorified, and I would also say, tying to Malachi, you become righteous because of Christ's righteousness. Then you start turning your attention and say, okay, if that's Christ and we follow him, we start looking like that. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says this, Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful steward of God's grace in its various form. So when you become a Christian and you follow Christ, you're not left empty. God tells us that each one of you gets at least one gift, and the purpose of that gift to be given to you is to serve other people. Okay? And here's the last one. 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8. 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8. Oh, 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Key here. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. See how it all ties together? It's rooted in Christ. Christ is a servant. We take on his likeness. So we start becoming servants. We take on his justice and his righteousness. And because of that, God gives us a gift and we start serving, and God reassures us and say, when you serve, and I know it's going to be hard, sometimes you're going to think it's not fruitful, but don't be discouraged. Christ tells us it is fruitful. And we tie back to Malachi. Malachi say it is going to be fruitful at the end times, right? When God says, all right, who are those who serve and don't serve? Because those who serve have taken on the likeness of Christ. That's really one of the mark of a Christian. When you become a Christian, the heart of Christ to serve others start overflowing from your heart, from your life. So it's not that you do stuff, you become justified in Christ. It's because you're justified in Christ that you serve and you work. So that's how all that stuff kind of flows together. I want to show this picture because we just had a town hall and we talked about the deacons and the elders, right? So Joe's been serving for 3 years, Stuart's been serving for one. Why would they do that? Okay, sometimes I look at the things they do. Others may say it's pointless that you spend so much time doing church ministry or serving others at like Gushlin Community Service. Why don't you take that time and just do fun things, things that you like, things that you think are beneficial? Why would these two men serve self-sacrificially? Like, we got to ask that question, right? And I would say part of it is that they're reflecting the image of Christ. And that's why we can see that in their lives. And if you look at all the various ministries going on in our church, every single one of you, like the worship team, why are they up here practicing and doing worship and spending their Friday night practicing? They could be with their friends at the mall. They could be doing other kinds of stuff. Like, why are they up here doing this? You got to ask that question. It's because the mark of Christ is flowing through their lives. And so I think that's important. That's the key thing for a Christian that you see. And so I want to challenge each of you today. If you pull up your bulletin, there's a couple things I want to point you to. Okay, so this is how we can live out the life of servanthood. The first thing in your bulletin, there's this list of things that are going on in ministry. It's called ministry, I can't read that. What does it say? Ministry, weekly schedule contact person. Okay, so if you look at that schedule, there's all kinds of ministries going on in the church that you can be part of. And so if you look at it and you say, you know, Awana, that children ministry, is something I want to try and serve in, then contact the person in Awana, which is Brian. So Brian, where's Brian? I saw Brian somewhere. Where's Brian? Oh, he just walked out? Okay, so contact Brian. So go through that list and say, if I'm not already serving, I'm not part of this community, what things in the church can I start trying out? Okay, you don't have to start off leading, just helping. That's all you need to do. And here's the second thing is, if you want something like to do immediately, in your announcement page, there's two big opportunities. Okay, the first one is serving in the church. So there's adult worship team, which Stuart is leading. So if you like music and maybe you can't even play yet, go talk to Stuart. They're going to help you out. They want people to be involved in the worship ministry. So that's one place where you can serve. Awana's another one. We need a song leader and a game leader. So if you have passion for kids and you want to do these things, sign up and tell Brian. He's sitting all over at the back. The last one is a Christmas creative team. So every year during Christmas, we try to do something different, something special. And so if you want to be part of that team, let me know so that we can start brainstorming on things that we can do. So that's just in the church, but it doesn't end there, right? A life in Christ extends beyond the wall of the church. So there's a couple of opportunities in the community that I want to point you to. The first one is Bethlehem Walk with Goochland Cares. So every year we go to Bethlehem Walk, which is just down the street, and we help with the food gathering. So whenever people come in, they drop off food donation. We're there to kind of help them pick it up, label it, weigh it, and distribute. So if that's something that you want to be part of, it's really easy. If you can read and pick stuff up, that's the minimum requirement, okay? So just come be part of that. It's end of November, early December, and it's really fun. You get to hang out with people, and you get a fast pass to go into Bethlehem Walk. It's huge. It saves you like 3 hours of standing in line. Okay, and then the last one is 30-hour famine, New Life. So our youth in about 2 to 3 weeks are going to partner with a group called New Life in Youth. They work with adults and youth who have gone through difficult times. They're struggling. Some of them are being rehabilitated from drugs, alcohol, like family abuse situations, stuff like that. And so they're going to partner with the Men's Ranch and the Women's Mercy House to go in there and basically just pour out the love of Christ to those groups. So if that's something that you want to be involved in, it doesn't have to be a youth. If you're an adult and you want to be involved in serving that way, make sure you contact Pastor Roe or Jordan. So that's how serving ties into being a Christian. And I think God surprises us. You know, he says, look to the eternity, serving matters, because that's a mark of someone who's in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, today that whenever we start questioning if what we're doing in church or serving people or serving others or serving you, Lord, even matters at all, we thank you, Lord, for your word of encouragement that it really does. And we desire to live a life that reflects Jesus. We see the compassion in Jesus. We see the love in Christ. We see all these things in him, Lord, and we want to experience that in our own lives. We want to love people the way that Christ loved others. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity of being your children. We thank you, Lord, that you transform us every day. And Lord, on days when it's hard for us to remember why we do what we do, please bring the passage of Malachi to our mind to remind us that our labor is not in vain, because we're serving an awesome, mighty, compassionate, merciful God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.